invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter number 11 this morning. Very familiar passage of Scripture for many. And I'll ask, as you find it, in honor of God's Word, we'll stand and read the first 7 verses of Hebrews chapter number 11. The first 7 verses of Hebrews chapter number 11 says this. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witnesses that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." One of my favorite verses, verse 6, the entire Bible says this. Hebrews 11, 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Verse 7, and we'll sit down. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the savings of his house, by which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Let's pray. Father God, I just commit this word to you this morning. Lord, our service is yours. Our life is yours. And God, I just pray that you will burden our hearts to do something for you, God. You are so worthy of all of our praise. We want to love and worship you today. We pray it now in your name. Amen. The title of this message today is going to be simply this: what has your faith got you doing? What has your faith got you doing? And as I consider myself a student of the Bible, I start to think about some passages in the Scripture that tell me that faith that's working is better than faith that's not working. And, you know, God has created us for a purpose. And, you know, we are part of the body of Christ. And I just believe that our faith, you know, as Brother Randy says, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And there's no other way that God tests his people, in my opinion, other than in the area of service to him. Okay? You read the Bible, what's the questions being asked? It's being asked to Moses. Moses, go and speak to Pharaoh. Listen, that was one of the first servant surrender forms right there. Will you do it, Moses? Will you go and speak to Pharaoh? And just like a good church member, Moses already had a list of excuses of why he was not able or ready to talk to Pharaoh. But what Moses wasn't thinking about was that as God leads, he provides. And we could scroll through the whole entire Bible and find people being challenged by God to do ministry. All the Bible is a ministry book. It is the story of people who were not ready, who had fears, who were sometimes living in times where, you know, look on the news. You see what's going on in Afghanistan and Iraq. And you see what's going on in other parts of the world where literally if they were to go outside of their home today, they would be looking up not at the sun but to make sure a missile is not landing anywhere near their house. But But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? God is still asking those people to serve Him. He's still asking those people who have every excuse in the world to say, God, I'm just trying to live. I'm just trying to not get blown up. I'm just trying to, you know, have food today. How can you ask me to serve you? God, you need to be serving me. I need your help. But I read and I see in the Bible that those same people exist. The disciples, you know, others in the Bible who had very little oftentimes, but God challenged them with service. So my challenge to you today in the United States of America, in New Rocky Creek Baptist Church, what's your faith got you doing? What's your faith got you doing? I hope that we've already gotten past the fact that we're blessed. Yeah, are we busy? Sometimes, yeah. Are we tired sometimes? Yes. Are we distracted? Yes. But don't let those things rob you of the joy of serving the Lord. And that brings us to our passage today in Hebrews chapter number 11, which if you don't know already, is known as the Hall of Fame of Faith in the Bible. Everyone in this book, they met the challenge. They were asked to do something great for God, and they did something great for God. What's so great about these people was some of them were young. Some of them were old, in their 80s. Some of them were women. Some of them were men. God is not a respecter of persons. And ministry doesn't start when you're married. It doesn't start when you're settled. It doesn't stop when you age out. You don't age out of ministry. There's always something that God can have you do. You know, if you just go to the nursing home, I challenge you if you haven't. Go to the hospital or somewhere. And I know Brother Randy and I've had the opportunity at times to go to the retreat and minister when he, you know, if he needed me to fill in and other nursing home ministries. Those people, guys, they may be retired, but a lot of them are doing more ministry than me and you. They're praying. They're writing cards. They're calling their family. And they're thinking, wow, I don't have much time left. And I want people to be saved. I want my family to know Jesus. And I want to do the best I can with what's left in my life. What's your faith got you doing? Let's look in verse 1. One of the most famous verses in the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you're taking notes this morning, I'll challenge you to write this down, that faith is substantial. Faith is substantial. And I think there's a direct correlation between how much you're doing for God and how much you're believing in God. I've never seen someone of great faith that, you know, was just, you look at sports. If someone's great at something, they're not sitting on the bench, okay? You're not going to put LeBron James on the bench unless you're trying to rest him, right? You know, trying to rest him for the next game. You're not going to put him on the bench because the man can play ball. Same way with football. You're not going to put Matt Ryan on the bench, unless it's preseason, right? You're not going to put him on the bench because that man can throw a football. Well, in the life of faith and in the life of doing ministry, the greater your faith, the greater things that God is going to challenge you to do. So if I look out here and I don't see you involved in anything, and I'm not your pastor, I am the associate pastor. Brother Randy is the pastor, but I'm just telling you from a pastoral mindset, when Brother Randy looks into our lives, he knows a little bit about your faith by watching what you do. If he only sees you here on Sunday morning, he knows there may be something wrong with your faith. If you've never been connected to a Sunday school class, there may be something going on with your faith. If you've never served God in any capacity, there's something holding you back in your faith. And, you know, but as a pastor, he's not going to call you out on that. He's not going to try to offend you by that. And it's not just the pastor who thinks that way, but it's also, you know, those who are praying and seeking the will of God for our church. They're going to think that as well in their mind. Like, well, I've been praying for this person. I've asked them to help numerous times, but, you know, their life is just busy right now. Or there's always a reason. But I'm just going to tell you that if you have faith, it's going to have you doing something. Amen. Am I right here? Everybody's looking at me a little funny. But what has your faith got you doing? Faith is substantial. It is. This past Christmas, I had the opportunity to share a devotion with my family members, extended family members, and I may have mentioned this before, but it fits here, so I'll share again. It was Christmas time. Opportunity is there. So we try to have a devotion even with our extended family members. But because I know some of those aren't saved, I try to think of ways to, you know, get them involved in what I'm saying. So I decided to go had some of those leftover Ray Comfort bucks, those $1 million bucks. And I decided to give them out to everyone there. We also did a little raffle, you know, had some prizes for the kids and things. But we talked about this idea that, you know what, I've just given y'all all $1 million. And man, I wish it was real. But I gave y'all this because I wanted you to think about this idea that the way I feel about my faith, that I would rather have the relationship I have with Christ than $100 million. I wouldn't trade it in for $100 million. That's how valuable my faith is to me. And it has that kind of substance, you know. And so I just shared that, man, our faith is so substantial. We'll read the verse again. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not only is faith substantial, but let's look at verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. If you're taking notes this morning, point number 2 is simply this. Not only is faith substantial, but faith is commendable. For by it the elders obtained a good report. One of the things we've been doing on Sunday night, particularly when Brother Randy is away preaching, is I like to do the old-timer series where we're having, and we'll do it tonight, but we've been listening to a guy who impersonates famous people from the past, like D.L. Moody, a great Christian, Charles Spurgeon, George Mueller, who started the orphanages, maybe R.A. Torrey, some of these great men of the past. And, man, every time we do, I'm telling you, it's always a blessing to hear their testimony. He basically impersonates them and goes through the life story and tells you the challenges and things that happened when God challenges your faith. My brother called me just the other day with an awesome testimony. He just got accepted as pastor at a church there in Toccoa, Georgia. And wasn't but a day or two later, his truck just totally tears up on him. I mean, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 bill. And my brother, you know, he's in ministry. He works there. He doesn't have a lot of expendable income. So this was big. It's like as soon as God places you somewhere, boom. All right, you have a church, but how are you going to get there, right? This is a problem. So Kenny, my brother, began to pray and say, Lord, I know that you can provide and that you have called me here. And he said, wasn't a few days later, I didn't mention that he broke down on the side of the road, and one of his other buddies saw him and called and had someone pick him up and all, and they've got the truck to a shop. But anyways, another friend calls out of the blue a few days later, and he said, Brother Ken, I had a dream about you. He said, I had a dream about you that you were walking down the road, you know, and you had a couple bags on your back. And he said, I just felt impressed. The Lord told me to call you and see what the need was, that there was some need there. And Kenny said, well, I was just walking down the road with my bags. My truck's torn up. It's broke. And the man said, well, what's wrong with it? No. And he said, well, it's take it to the shop, and I don't care what the charge is. It's fixed. It's fixed today. And that is an example of the miraculous, substantial thing that faith really is. Now, do those kind of things happen every day? No. But if you don't have even a story of something awesome that God is doing in your life or has ever done, faith is awesome. Faith is substantial. God can do great and mighty things in your life. Don't think that he can't. Not only is faith substantial, but we've talked about how faith is commendable. By it, the elders obtained a good report. You know, as I think about those who are serving at New Rocky Creek Baptist Church, especially those who were parents, I think one of the things that helps our children commit to Christ, decide to serve him as they get older, is not going to church with a parent, but serving at a church with their parent. Or at least seeing their parent involved in serving him. Because if I'm the kid, I'm looking at you, I'm saying, wow, mom and dad are serious about God. Man, they're involved in a youth group. Man, did you see dad at Vacation Bible School? He had them all laughing. Man, did you see my mom singing in choir? She's good at it. You know, my dad's a... I just had a thought that came to me. And I remember being a kid, and, you know, my dad was a Sunday school teacher. And, you know, he used to carry a suitcase around. And I remember one day he... You know, and I was just so impressed with all the books he had. He just had so many books about God. So I was like, man, I would even go in there and just kind of take one or two, you know, and I had my own little stash over there. And he started seeing his books are missing, you know. So he says, hey, man, you can have this book. I've already read it. You know, and I'm barely old enough to probably understand it. And I would take the Sunday school lessons because they had the cool pictures of it. The pictures, and I would collect those things. And eventually, one day I come in and I see him making a suitcase for me. You know, he's done, got a suitcase. He's putting a little, you know, what do you call it, the little carpet in there or whatever to keep it from getting dusty. So now I have a suitcase. And now I feel like, man, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Do I have a class? No. Does anybody want to hear me teach? No. But you know what? It wasn't long after that. I don't know how much longer after that, but probably within a year or two, I began telling my parents, I think God is calling me to preach. So what I'm saying is, if I'd been going to church and just seeing mom and dad sit around, or not seeing mom and dad in Sunday school, I don't know if I'd be up here today. I'd probably be maybe going to church, maybe not. I think about my friends who were so good at sports. And where are they at today? They're taking their kids to the ball field every chance they get. Not to say anything's wrong with that, but it's more important to teach a child to keep his eye on Christ than it is his eye on the ball. Don't miss out on the opportunity, the ministry. When you serve God, other people will see that. And not just other people, but your children. And sometimes it's not your children, it's other people's children who see you. And they say, wow, Mr. Jim or Brother Ken and others who've worked with youth over the years, and I look across and Miss Katie, they've influenced people. Brother Walter, Miss Kathy, Miss Melissa, y'all have influenced people. And they may be a Sunday school teacher. They may work with others because of you, because the testimony that you were to them. Did we not just see Brianna Martin? Did y'all see that? Come and talk. You know, someone mentioned that the other day, the fact that she was here. She was one of the first ones I remember when I came here that we were picking up on the bus, and sometimes she'd be the only person on the bus on Sunday morning, and now she's talking about how she wants to minister to others in Rollingwood Cove over here. That's an example of faith is commendable. Not only that, but faith is transformative. Verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Not only is faith substantial and commendable, but it's so transformative. And the things that we see were made by the things that we don't see. You know, it's one thing to think about, you know, I come to church and I want to experience God, I do. And I pray the worship blesses my heart, and most of the time it does. And I pray that, you know, the sermon connects with me each week, and most of the time it will. But you know, and I want to see God, I want to experience God, I do. But you know, there's people who go see the Niagara Falls over the years, especially when they first discovered it. And they took pictures, they drew pictures of Niagara Falls, they grasped that, they allowed the mist to hit them on the face, and they wrote home about how great Niagara Falls is. But then there's the people who looked at Niagara Falls and said, what can we power with this force? What can we transform with this power? What can we do with this energy? And as great as Niagara Falls is, the greatest thing it ever did is power the cities around it. Listen, your God is great. Yes, he is. Your God is powerful. Yes, he is. God's awesome. But don't look at God for just what he is, but what he can do, and what he can do in your life, and in your family's life, and in our church. There's power, wonder-working power. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's transformative power. He took this power of Christ, entered the 12 disciples, and through it the church was framed. You know, by it, people have lost their life and given their life to Christ. Faith is transformative. It is essence. Question number 4 and point number 4 is this, and we're going to skip on down to verse 6 for this point. Not only is faith substantial and faith commendable and oftentimes transformative in our lives, but faith is foundational. Don't miss this. Faith is foundational. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Man, that's a beautiful verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is foundational. You know, one of my favorite television shows in the past, and there's other shows like it, but who's ever seen Undercover Boss? Undercover Boss. Or even, you know, some of the other ones I won't mention because I wouldn't want to advertise some of the other ones, but I think that one is, in its essence, has some quality to it. But in at least in Undercover Boss, it's so interesting because the owner of the company will go into the, you know, whether it be Taco Bell or Walmart or Wendy's or, you know, you name it, Kmart, whatever, Target. They'll go and they'll disguise themselves, oftentimes not very well, but they at least attempt to disguise themselves, and they go into the workplace and they start talking. And they start asking questions. How long you been here? What's your job here? Who trained you to do that? You know, what do you think are some of the challenges we face, you know, in this business? Is this somewhere that I would want to be? Can I really make it here? Oh, really? You're struggling. You can't afford to even pay your rent. You don't have a car to get here. Wow. Your boss has talked down to you. Nobody encourages you. Oh, okay. You just come and you go to work and nobody talks to you. You're about ready to quit. Well, you know what? There's a reason why we're not serving the Lord today. But if Jesus could come sit beside you today and ask you, what's your faith got you doing? Why aren't you serving God at the church I planted? Why aren't you serving the Lord in the place I have you planted? Would you say, I go to church every week, Jesus, but nobody really talks to me. You know, I have a lot of other things going on, the Lord, but, you know, I don't want to tell them that. I don't really think I'm that gifted in any area, and I just don't want to be a burden on anybody. You know, I'm just not ready. But, you know, I believe that the Lord would do that, and I know He is in your life if you're listening to Him. He's going to say, what have I called you to do? You're not the one who's going to do it. Just like any good boss, He's going to provide the training. He's going to provide encouragement. He's going to provide strength. He's going to provide the things you need to do the things that He's calling you to do. Faith is foundational. What has your faith got you doing this morning? I'm not going to finish the entire message, but I want to challenge you, if you want to continue reading in this area throughout the week, let me look at the outline, and we'll just mention it very briefly, but I think I've said the main things that the Lord wants me to share today. But I'll challenge you to look in three different ways in those verses you can find. Beginning in verse 5, you can find Enoch's worship. How Enoch worshiped the Lord. And not only, Abel's worship. Verse 5 is Enoch and how he was walking one day with the Lord, and the Lord just decided to take him up to heaven. Man, I want to have a walk like Enoch. Not just Abel's worship, but Enoch's walk. And lastly, verse 7, we see Noah's work. Your faith should be so great that it will affect your worship. It'll affect your walk, and it'll affect your work. What has your faith got you doing? I'll close with this story. This week, I get a call yesterday from an extended family member, and he tells me my dad has passed away, and this is a cousin of mine, and he's on the Atlanta music scene. He does 250 or more concerts a year, and You know, and I know some of his friends and family will be coming in, and a lot of those don't know Jesus. And this goes back to the fact that faith is substantial. And he's asked me to do the funeral, and I'll be doing it here Tuesday night at the church. It's going to be more of a memorial service, no casket involved. But he's asked me to share. So I felt impressed to text him last night. I said, man, I sure would like to hear more about your dad. And I said it this way. I said, you know, I said, someone's told me that there might have been a point in his life, your dad's life, that he made a commitment to Christ. And I said, man, if that's true, if that's part of his story, I said, the message could provide another level of comfort if that's the story. If that's not the case, you know, I'll definitely try to focus on some positives and things that might bring some comfort. But he texted me back, and I was so happy to see. He said, man, he definitely did. And I want to meet with you this afternoon and tell you the story of how he came to Christ. Man, on days like that, you'll find out how substantial your faith is. How substantial, man. When someone passes away, and man, you can hear a story. Even if they weren't a Christian, but there's a chance they're a Christian. You know, they went to church. I seen them at least there. Man, they were baptized. You know, they were, involved in church at one point. Man, what hope that just even that brings to a family in this situation to know that they may have made a commitment to Christ. And that decision you make is so important. And maybe there's someone, I don't want to close today without totally mentioning the fact there may be someone here who's thinking, man, it's not that I'm not serving the Lord, it's I don't know the Lord. My sheep hear my voice, as Jesus said, and they follow me. And, you know, if that's you today, man, God loves you more than anything. He died for you. Don't miss out on what he has to offer. Eternal life is in his name. He came, he lived, and he died, and he rose again for you. I'll ask Garrett to come. We're going to sing. What's your faith got you doing?